take your scriptures this morning and locate Mark chapter 4 as we continue our way through this gospel. And there's an outline there in your bulletin that you can grab and follow along with that and fill in some blanks as we work our way through this passage. Title of our subject this morning is Nobody Ever Listens to Me. Have you ever felt that way? Be careful raising your hands. Nobody ever listens to me. We're going to wrestle with that a little bit as we work our way through the text and seek to land there at the end. And there's maybe a bit of where's that coming from? What's our motivation when we ask that? But nobody ever listens to me, just right off the bat. Have you ever felt that way? Well, if so, the President of the United States welcomes you to his team. Now, I'm talking about President Roosevelt. Franklin Roosevelt. Franklin Roosevelt, while he was president, endured long reception lines at the White House, and he was not particularly fond of those moments. In fact, he privately complained that no one really paid attention to the conversation in those moments with him, and so he decided on his own one day to try a bit of an experiment. As people came down the line and shook his hand, "Good evening, Mr. President, nice to see you," he murmured under his breath, "I murdered my grandmother last night." The guest continued to shake his hand and responded with, "Marvelous. Keep up the good work. God bless you, Mr. President." However, there was one diplomat from another country who was listening a tad better, we might say. He heard the president's words. He wasn't quite sure how to respond in this environment. So when the president said, "I murdered my grandmother last night," he responded, "I'm sure she had it coming." Nobody ever listens to me. There are four actions that are to capture our heart focus as we move through life and as we deal with the Word of God. We're going to run into those repeatedly as we study this passage through to its completion. Four actions, and you can write these down in your outlines. Listen, hear, understand, embrace. Listen, hear, understand, embrace. Notice the movement, the motion of these four actions. And then as we flesh them out, we will see them in Scripture. And this is our target as we move through life, especially as we deal with God's Word, God's truth. Listen to hear. Hear to understand. Understand to embrace or apply. And embrace the truth. I'll give you a freebie. I'll give you an extra one. To glorify God. This glorifies God. We need to hear the truth. We need to listen to the truth. Hear the truth. Understand the truth. And embrace the truth. Nobody ever listens to me. Well, the focus when we first hear that, and when I maybe tend to say that, is the focus on myself. I have to watch. Might be a tad bit of pride in there, but let's just take that and build on that. And imagine if this was a conversation with God and us. Imagine if the Lord Jesus Christ was talking to me. We'll make it personal. And we should all make it personal, the truth. Imagine if the Lord was speaking to me and said, "Jim, you are not listening to my voice. I would say that's not good on Jim's part. And insert your name into the equation, because we're all in the spotlight here. It's not good. It's not wise. It's not productive to not listen to God's voice. So a couple of questions that we deal with in this passage is, why do people not listen to God? Also, it's very personal. Why do I sometimes not listen to God? What about me? Both of those questions, concerns, are in play in the parable of the soils. Now, wherever you're at in your faith journey, wherever you're at in a relationship with God, I encourage you to just track with me and follow me. And we're going to build on a presupposition that as we look at this beautiful world, this grand design out in nature around us, that grand design points to an even grander designer. That there's some supreme power, some supreme being behind this all as the only logical explanation for why we're here. And then let's build on that a little further, and we'll just work on this presupposition. And just if you can track with me and give it a shot here. That this supreme being wants to communicate with the height of his creation, with the best of his creation, or with the unique folkness of human beings. He wanted to communicate with us, and he does communicate to us in compassion, which focuses on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and the revelation of his word. Let's build on that. Wherever you're at in your faith journey, just let's track that way with that presupposition in mind. As we ask ourselves, are we listening to God? Are we listening to Jesus Christ as we could, as we should? In verse 3, we've read this word, and Jesus said, "Listen, behold," and he structures it in such a way that his audience would grab hold of it, that the speaker is wanting his audience to really lock in on these words, to consider them. And then in verse 9, he says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Very kind of a polite way of saying, listen to this. And you know, if there is a grand designer, a supreme being that we call God, that wants to communicate with humanity and has communicated with humanity, that's a good thing. That's a positive thing for all of us. And when he says, "I really want you to focus on this. I really want you to listen to this," that is positive, encouraging, and it brings us in to what he has to say. Let's look at a couple issues concerning listening, hearing, embracing this morning. We're going to build on them. Number one, listening is core in communication. Hearing is key to a Christ connection. And thirdly, embracing is vital to change, is vital to growth. And growth, change, is demanded of every disciple of Jesus Christ. Listening is core in communication. How do we communicate without words, without the expression of thoughts? We need to listen. We need to express those thoughts. You think about, the Bible says that human beings, you and I, we're made in the image of God. There's something unique, something distinct about human beings that separates them from the rest of creation. Now think about this. Someone who speaks German can study the Italian language and read through that and learn to speak Italian. The Italian person can study French and learn to speak French and be able to articulate what he learned in Italian and Italian thought into French language. And the French person can go and learn English and learn to express himself in English and then learn Spanish and express themselves in Spanish. And the Spanish person continue on and learn, what do we have, the first language, German. And that expression of thought goes full circle, and we can write things down. We can put things together, a plan and an action that helps every language understand the same thing. You know, fish don't communicate with gorillas in such a way that the gorilla can communicate with the butterfly in such a way that the butterfly can communicate back to the fish. And put a program together and a plan together. There is something unique about human beings, which especially some of the practical applications come to the sanctity of life. But we have the privilege of communicating and learning and listening. And listening is core in the communication process. And if we're going to be connected to Christ, to this supreme being who is wanting to connect with us and tell us what life is all about, hearing is vital. Hearing what he has to say is vital if we're going to understand why, who Jesus is, why Jesus came, what he's calling us to do as human beings. And then what we learn, what we understand, is to make a difference in our life, is to change us, is to move us and motivate us. This is what is demanded for every one of us as followers of Jesus Christ, as Christians. Let's build on the truth this morning. The truth essentially in one statement, the first half of it. We can listen but not hear. We can listen but not hear, and that is eternally dangerous, which is what we find in Mark chapter 4. We cannot be meaningfully connected with God without hearing his voice. So we need to learn. So we must listen to hear, listen to understand, understand to embrace God's words. Mark 4, 1, the parable of the soils. What is a parable? You might think back to your math days. Some of us fond memories, some of us moments of agony. Remember them talking about things being parallel? One line and another line on top of it, and essentially running the same plane. They were parallel with each other. That's a bit of the definition of a parable. A parable was a common teaching technique in the New Testament era. As we've opened up the gospel, we step into history. The Bible is a historical book. And one of the common teaching techniques in this point in time was the use of parables, where the speaker would, wanting to outline and focus on a truth, would lay something the audience could identify with alongside of it to make that truth obvious, connecting insight along something the crowd can identify with. And here we are, Jesus is by the sea. In fact, it says he's out on a boat. The crowd is basically gathered along the shoreline. So Jesus is out on a boat. They're out looking on a boat. But as they looked around, they were in a very agricultural area, and they would see the farming industry, in a sense, actively involved, and they may actually be seeing what Christ is talking about here. Well, as we've already read, what is this parable of the soils about? There's a sower, there are seed, and there is soil. Sower, seed, soil. Now, to understand what Jesus is trying to get across to us, we need to understand what is all going on when it talks about sower, seed, and soil. Now, if you're like me, when I hear about someone sowing, I'm thinking about a needle and thread. Maybe I was the only one who thought about that when I first read this a while back. We're not talking about needle and thread here, but about someone who's farming, planting seed. He's throwing out, he's broadcasting seed, and that is where we get the word broadcast from the action here. And that seed is falling on soil. Christ uses this picture to highlight, to impress us with eternal truth. If we want to understand the truth, so we can embrace the truth correctly, you need to understand these three elements. The sower is Jesus Christ. Primarily, Jesus Christ. There'll be some secondary applications to us as his followers, but the sower is Jesus Christ. The seed is the Word of God. We might say the Bible, the teachings of Jesus. Now, as we open up into the Gospel of Mark, much of the New Testament hasn't been written at that time. And so it was focusing on what had been written, and especially the teachings of Christ. Well, now we have the complete revelation, the 66 books that God intended us to have. And so now we look at that seed as the comprehensive Word of God that centers on Jesus Christ. But essentially, the sower, Jesus Christ, the seed is the Word of God. Well, what about the soil? The soil is us. The soil is our heart condition in this sowing process. And there are four soils that are listed in these 20 verses in the chapter. And we all fall into one of these four categories. We are all here in this book, in this chapter, in this parable. And there are things for us to learn and things for us to be encouraged by. This is a teaching passage. It's here to educate us, but it is also here, I think especially here, for believers who tend to get discouraged as they do the Christian life and do Christian ministry. Notice the four soils, what they look like, what they represent, what they produce. Soil number one in verse four. Soil number one, verse four. As the sower was sowing, the farmer was planting, some seed fell beside the road. And what happened? The birds came and ate the seed up. It's a physical story. It has spiritual lessons. About verse 10, Jesus begins to explain the parable to his followers. And in verse 13, we get a bit of the explanation for soil number one, the stubborn soil. Jesus said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the other parables that are to come?" There's going to be another number of parables roll off the lips of Jesus in the next few chapters in Mark. And he's saying, you understand the Bible, you understand the gospel, you understand, want to understand what I'm all about. It is key to understand the parable of the soils. Verse 14, the sower sows the word. Verse 15, these are the ones who are beside the road, where the word is sown, and when they hear it, immediately, Satan comes and takes the word which has been sown in them, takes it away. Stubborn soil. This is hard, packed ground. Ground that is unreceptive, unresponsive to Jesus' words. And it reminds me, it reminds us that when I have no room for God, nothing matters. That sentence is there to wrestle with and grapple with and feel the tension. When I have no room for God, nothing matters. And for the person with a hard response, a no response, an unwillingness to listen, nothing matters. This describes a person that's disinterested, distracted with spiritual matters, with the Bible, bored with it. And Jesus tells us this is very dangerous ground. And what we've seen in the first couple chapters of Mark highlight this. When you say no to God, when we are resistant to God, when we don't give any room for His word to be true, we are on very dangerous ground. Because God in silence, or God in judgment, may become silent and no longer speak. And we saw that in chapter 3 as we looked at the danger and the possibility of the unpardonable sin. And we will see this ratcheting up with some of the hostile reactions and receptions that are given to Jesus in his teaching. Individuals that are just belligerent, hostile, hard to Jesus' words. This is dangerous. Remember, we're looking how to understand our world better. We're also looking at examining our life. As you go out and sow the seed of the word of God, some of that is going to fall on hard ground. That explains the response you get. The challenge also is that in my life and in your life, we can be hard ground. And even if much of our life is just the opposite, there may be some hard cupboards and closets in our life that God does not want to be hard, resistant to his word. So we have a picture of someone who's out there sowing. The sower would often have a bag of seed on his side. He would reach into that bag and whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. If you're really good, there are two hands going both ways. They're just broadcasting the seed as they walk along. Palestine is covered with fields. But unlike what we're used to around here, there were not fences that divided or distinguished one boundary, one property from another. Often what distinguished one property from another was a path. The people, they would walk along the edge of the field. And as more and more people walked along that edge of the field, it became a path, a hard path and a widening path. The boundaries were often narrow, shoe-beaten, sun-baked paths that everyone used. And as the farmer, the sower, is doing his thing, broadcasting the seed, some of that sown seed would naturally land on this hard path. And soon it would be crushed underfoot by the everyday traveler or consumed by the animals, quickly gone. There's a physical activity going on that Jesus is using to illustrate spiritual reality. And here's some of the spiritual reality again in verse 14 and verse 15. The seed is sown, it hits that rock hard ground. And this is talking about those in their spiritual response, verse 15. The word is sown, and when they hear, notice what happens. Immediately, Satan comes and takes away the word that's been sown. Comes and steals the seed, snatches it up as quick as it's sown. In love, Jesus tells us the truth. And the truth is, there's a thief among us. There is a thief among us, lurking in your life right now, at this moment. What are we going to do about this thief? Now, if you were sitting there in your nice, comfy chairs, and someone came in and they walked in, sat down right next to you, you turned to greet them because you're a nice, polite person, and you look at that person and they're wearing this black mask with a little eye holes cut out. They got this black mask, and they got a bag slung over their head, and they even have a name tag on their clothes. You know, sometimes churches do that. You know, hello, I am, and he said, thief. And he said, hi, I'm a thief. My cousin is robbing your house while we're in church. What would you do? Probably a couple things you would do really fast, right? You're going to act. You're going to respond. You're going to move to correct the situation. You're like, maybe I should get back to that on Tuesday. Maybe next Thursday, form a committee. How should we respond to this danger? In love, Jesus tells us, there is a thief among us. There is a thief active in every one of our lives. And it calls us to take Satan seriously. He does not want you to do anything at any time with God's word. He doesn't want us to listen to hear. He doesn't want us to hear to understand eternal truth. He doesn't want us to understand eternal truth and move to embracing it, which glorifies God. He doesn't want us to have any part of the process. He's very active, desiring to swoop in and steal the seed. And part of the picture here is him swooping in before there is thought and reflection to stop this whole planting and harvest process. He doesn't want the seed to deal with the soil. He doesn't want the soil to deal with the seed. The point of this passage is there is not a problem with the seed. The seed is the word of God. It's perfect. It's pure. And the point of this passage is there is not a problem with the sower. And the sower is the Lord Jesus Christ. By application, it's to us. And sometimes I think we beat ourselves up and we also beat our others up in that we're doing a poor job in the seed distribution business. But the primary focus is on the soil. That there can be a problem with the soil. There can be a problem with our soil. Our soil may not be good soil. And now is a good time to analyze our soil under the Word of God with the Spirit of God to avoid some dangers and find the hope that is there for tomorrow. There is a thief among us. We need to take Satan seriously. He doesn't want us to do anything with the seed. And here the seed is being broadcast this morning. He doesn't want us to go home and think about it, reflect on it, to ponder it, to apply it. And he'll do all he can to swoop in and snatch it away before there's thought and process. Thought and reflection. I encourage you in your time, and that's why we have some of the growth groups we have, to focus on what is being taught here and how do I put this seed deeper into my life. We've got to give it time. As you work with others, as you share Christ with others, as you broadcast the seed, sometimes it seems like it's falling on really hard ground. Broadcast the seed and give it time. There's a thief among us. He swoops in, tries to steal the seed right off the bat, but also he's not limited to an immediate snatch. He's not simply a one-and-done thief. And at times, and especially for us as Christians, he works more gradually, slowly, seductively, secretively, to take away the seed of God's truth from our lives. One of the most effective deterrents for becoming a victim of a thief is to be proactive, protective, moving forward. There is a park in central London, and chained to a lamppost in that park are these words. They catch our attention because it's painted in bright yellow. Here are these words. Thieves operate in this area. You are not obliged to be their victim. Guard your valuables. Now, that was very thoughtful of the local Chamber of Commerce to put that there, right? I mean, I'm really tempted to move into that area that has thieves all around it. But I also appreciate the warning. Wherever you go in life, wherever you live in life, there is going to be a spiritual thief close by. You will never move far enough away from him. He will always be lurking in the shadows and active. But let me give us hope and all of us hope. There is one greater than the thief. There is one whose power is greater and will make an eternal difference and provide the protection we need. We do not have to be a victim. We are called to guard our valuables. If you are disconnected from God, if you are early in your faith journey, let me encourage you, do not stop looking. Do not stop listening to the voice of Jesus. In fact, I encourage you, look one more time. This past week, I picked up a book that I want to study over the next couple of months, written by Nathan Buesnitz of the Master Seminary. The book is titled 50 Reasons We Believe, 50 Lines of Evidence That Confirm the Christian Faith. Maybe that title grabs your attention. I would encourage you to take a look at it because the subject is so important. If there is a God, if he desires a relationship with you, and he's spoken, you want to hear it. You want to hear what it takes to have peace with God. And there are all kinds of evidences that support the truth that Jesus Christ is God. And what he did on the cross enables you to have peace with God for all eternity. Please do not stop looking. Look one more time. How about us as Christians? Some of us probably need a bit of encouragement as we face another week. In a world that is often hostile to the things of God, to the claims of Jesus Christ, what does he tell us to do? What did he model for us? Jesus kept on flinging out the seed. Keep flinging out the seed far and wide. Keep throwing it out. And trust God in the process. There is no greater treasure than this book. There is no greater treasure than its author. and it invites us in personally to enjoy that treasure, and it challenges all, us all, to share and broadcast that treasure with others. Guard your valuables. Keep flinging out the seed far and wide. Well, there are four soils in this passage. We've covered one of them. And to cover the rest will take even longer than the time I've taken this morning. Some of you will not be able to sleep this week if I don't fill in the blanks for you. So grab your pen real quick. The video person's going to fly up there. I'm going to highlight this for you, and then we are going to come back next week and unwrap soil number 2, 3, and 4. Soil number 2 is shallow soil, inch deep soil. When I have no roots, I will have no stability in the storms of life. Soil number 3 is strangled soil. This is death by weeds dirt. And when I tolerate weeds in my life spiritually, I lose my breath for God. Stubborn soil has no room for God. Shallow soil will have no roots. Strangled soil has no breath. And we're challenged to pull our weeds and to be careful that desires do not become distractions away from God. That brings us to soil number 4, which is soft soil, good soil, right and receptive to God's word. And when I listen to hear God's truth, I will have no regrets. Let's come back to soil number 1, the stubborn soil. As Christians, we need to keep flinging out the seed far and wide. Many people will say no. In fact, 3 out of these 4 soils are resistant to God. Many people will say no to God, but some will say yes. And so we keep flinging out the soil. Many of you are familiar with Indiana's Bobby Knight. When I was out in California, we had a California Bobby Knight. Bobby Knight was a very demonstrative, expressive, not calm, not cool coach. You know how he typically responded in games. We had a high school coach in our area like that. And I was going into a Holiday Classic one night to watch a high school basketball game. And when one game was ending up, and the coach was who I call California Bobby Knight. He was verbally abusive of the coaches, of his players, yelling. And this was the first time I believe that I'd ever seen him. I'd heard about him, and I walked in the game while he was having a meltdown. And I was unimpressed. And even though I probably have meltdowns in my life, but I remember walking in and seeing that, and immediately these words popped out of, or it came, flowed through my thinking. This man will never be saved. This man will never be a follower of Jesus. That's impossible. Now, as a youth pastor, I don't think pastors are supposed to say that. And I was wondering, I still wondered, where did that come from? And I thought, here's a man that could never be saved. And he was just off the charts, annoying and belligerent. I watched the game. I went home. And I believe it was the next week. I walked into the senior pastor's office. We had a meeting scheduled. I walked into his office. And there next to Dr. Carey was California Bobby Knight. I thought, whoa, call the police. And Pastor Carey said, Jim, this is Coach so-and-so. He just asked Christ to come into his life and save him. I thought, that's not possible. Outside of the grace and mercy of God, which is the only thing that gave me hope in my life. It's what gives you hope in your life and what I can offer you today. God can do the impossible. And you're looking at a room full of impossible people that have experienced the love and grace of Jesus Christ. And that can be yours this morning. We may be stubborn soil today, but we don't have to. As a Christian, I just need to keep throwing out the seed and trusting God to work. If you're stubborn soil today, give the seed a chance. Give the seed an opportunity. When we lived out in Washington, we had some farmers in our church. We got to stay with them for a while as we waited for our house in California to sell. They were seed farmers. They grew all kinds of seed. Any seed you could think of, they grew it. And they love, I say it respectfully, they love forest fires, because when forest fires happened around the country, the government would buy their seed to go in and plant in the forest, because they had some seed that germinated very quickly and was very effective in protecting against erosion in those kind of disasters. And one of those particular seeds, and they were showing it to me, how it had been crafted by the Creator. And the way that soil had been structured by the God of the universe, it kind of had a little twisty, it really looked like a drill bit on one end of it. And on the other end of it, the seed particles branched out. And they showed me how very naturally, when just a gentle breeze blew and touched that seed, that it would move that seed around and essentially drill that seed into the ground very quickly so that it could come up and be, in a sense, a blessing in nature. My farmer friends did not create that seed. The government did not create that seed. God did, and blessed us with that. The very fact that you're here this morning, the very fact that sometimes you look or listen at the Word of God, gives you hope. And that seed is trying to burrow its way into your life and make an eternal difference. And it calls us all to move toward Jesus. Move towards that seed. Give it some thought. Pray for truth. And as we make that a reality in our life, we seek for it to be a reality in other people's lives. Our job is to distribute the seed and let God do what He alone can do. Burrow into a hard, resistant life. And bring peace for now and for all eternity. Next week, we'll look at a little more of the shallow, the strangled, and the soft soil. But every time we look at this, where am I? Where am I in my walk with God? What kind of soil am I really? And what am I going to do about that? Please don't leave here this morning without having the peace of God, without having come to the cross, accepting what He did, receiving the gift of salvation, and beginning the wonderful process of following Him. For us who are followers of Jesus, time to do a little soil scrutiny about our life. Where does God want us to be? What steps should I take in the days ahead? Father, we thank You for Your word. It is so deep and rich. There's much more that we could glean from this passage, but here's what we have for today. It's enough for us to be challenged by, enough for us to be encouraged by. As followers of Jesus, may we broadcast that seed far and wide this week, and may we take encouragement that You are doing and going to do what you desire to do, and that You've allowed us to be a part of the process. As we do that soil evaluation in our life, may we find the hope that there is in the power of the seed, in the presence of the sower, and move towards Him this week for our good, for His glory. And it is in the name of our teacher we pray, Jesus Christ. Amen.